During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
It's electrifying. You better shape up, 'cause I need a man. But my heart is set on you. You better shape up.
I better shape up.
You better understand.
I gotta understand, baby.
To my heart, I must be true.
Let me love for me.
I was so in love with this woman when I was a kid. When she's singing this song. In the black leather and the hairstyle. She put that damn cigarette out and she said, "Tell me about it, stud." That was my motto for several years as a youth. Tell me about it, stud. Rest in peace, Olivia Newton-John, who passed away yesterday. We have a couple of special guests. Why don't you introduce them, Nate Buchady, while I listen to Olivia Newton-John. You better not shut that song off. I can tell you that right now.
You know, as much as...
Feel your way.
I think you're making our guests feel a little uncomfortable
That's okay. My job here.
Yeah.
You keep people, that's why it's very cold in here. You keep the guests uncomfortable. Yep. And that's when you get the best out of them. And I go.
So as high of a pedestal as you have Olivia Newton-John on in your esteem.
Yeah.
Is that probably about how high I have Matt Beasler on my... Like, I don't know if I can put him on a higher pedestal, could I?
Tell me about it, stud.
We have Matt Beasler in studio.
Attempting to leave the studio right
now.
Yeah,
he's trying to get out of here. And he brought a good friend with him. Matt's now with Chicken and Pickle.
Right.
You heard of that play? You heard of that one, Stan?
Absolutely.
The amazing spot out on 135th Street. And, of course, there's the one in the Northland as well. And Matt, who did you bring along with us that also works at Chicken and Pickle?
Yeah, I brought my new teammate, Mr. Garrick Dieter.
Wow.
Yeah. The thing I want to say quickly about Garrick is, as we've strong-armed him into becoming a guest on our show. And I don't know if you're
he's rethinking
that
right now.
Yeah, no, he's already. I can see the wheels turning over there. He brought us donuts too. By the way,
Conrad McGorkin, you are a winner. Look at this beautiful Photoshop. That is a fantasy I've had for many years. So thank you.
Back when you had lush hair, did you grease it back like
that? Of course.
That?
Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? I had a lot of hair when I was a kid. A lot of hair. I don't have any now, but yes, I did.
So, by the way, Gary, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me on, boys.
Are you rethinking everything? Now that you've been in here 5 minutes, would you like the segment to be over? Are you still good? Are we good?
I'm feeling pretty good right
okay,
now.
Okay, well, that's all that matters.
So, whenever I think about Garrick Dieter, the first thing I think about is the greatest photo bomb in the history of my life.
Have you already showed it to him?
Are you aware of this?
I think I remember at the Royals game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We laughed and laughed.
Have you seen that, Matt?
No, I haven't seen that.
Look at that.
So this was opening day. Was this Mahomes' rookie year?
Sure, why not?
Whenever it was, the Royals had, like, it was the home opener, you know, right. Big party thing. And somehow, Steven... It was like me, you, and Schwartz and Jake, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was the four of us.
I think I was over at the Arrowhead Club.
Yeah, and Steven's like, "Hey, we just got invited over to the Founders Club at Arrowhead Stadium. They're having a party for opening day." So we were over there, and we got our Royals gear on. We're hanging out, and all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes comes walking through the Founders Club. And he was only like a rookie at the time or something. I don't know. But Steven and I were like...
I was ready to fight somebody at that point. Because I was already enamored with Patrick Mahomes. And you got to understand, as a kid, growing up in Kansas City, I told you I loved Olivia Newton-John, but I also loved George Brett and the Powder Blues. And then I saw Patrick Mahomes, like, is he wearing a Powder Blue George Brett jersey? And I was ready to... I want to slap Nate. I don't know why he was standing next to me. That was the target.
We were like... what was the old Saturday Night Live bit where, like... Chris Farley and Adam Sandler like turn their heads and look this way.
Oh yeah.
when like the hot girl goes walking by, we're like, ooh, look at that, Patrick Mahomes. And so we both start plotting, like, let's go up and see if we can get a picture with him. And Jake was disgusted by it. He's like, You're a couple of grown men. You should be above this by now. Why are you? I'm like, we're not. So we run over and we ask him for a picture, and there's amazing Gary.
That's a great photo.
Isn't that the greatest photo bomb of all time? That's actually my favorite part of the picture now.
Yeah, that's an instant classic right there. That year, Pat, I mean, everybody knew who he was, but he wasn't as popular as he is right now, obviously. So he could kind of walk around Royal Stadium at the time.
Yeah, he probably can't even get around. Yeah,
not during those 5 minutes.
No, he's got to sneak around now. But back then, we could kind of do our thing and walk around, and you guys popped out, and I was just having fun with everybody. So I just in any picture I could just pop my head in, and thankfully that was one of those.
That was a good one. And so we're gonna get to some other topics because a couple of things are happening right now at Chiefs camp. I want to ask Gary Dieter about. But tell me how this group came together, Nate. You were texting me.
Yeah.
I know that you have this thing about following Nate, following Matt Beasler to different places. So how did this all come about, please?
Yeah, I pretty much just have my ear to the ground at all times to find out what events Matt Beasler is involved in and see if I can make myself a part of it somehow. But this one, first of all, we had the Vali Lama that we all, the three of us worked on, the big pickleball tournament, celebrity pickleball tournament. And I remember, Gehrig, being, you and I did all those interviews down there a couple years ago when we did the first one. That was pre-pandemic, wasn't it, when we did that first one?
Correct.
And Gehrig was playing, and he was taking all the guys in the receiving room down to Chicken and Pickle, which we can talk about that more later. But so we were involved in that. And then Matt, I'll let you explain it. You reached out to me about the wiffle ball thing coming up. Can you tell us about what's going on there?
Yeah, sure. This Saturday, we are hosting a Wiffle at the Hollow Classic. It's a charity wiffle ball game. It benefits The Battle Within. You can go to find more information at thebattlewithin.org. It is a program designed to help and service veterans and first responders. It's a 5-day intensive program that offers, you know, spiritual, emotional, and physical recovery from some of these experiences that veterans have had. And in recent years, they've added first responders as well, which has been awesome. But I've been involved in that program for a number of years, and I've seen firsthand just how impactful it is. And it really is life-changing for these people that don't really know they need help. And in a lot of ways, it's almost like an intervention because they're unwilling and I'm not going to do that. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. But until they actually go through the program, it opens up their eyes and it completely changes their lives. And one of the things I like about the program as well is it's almost like a graduate program. So the people that graduate the program, the majority of them want to come back and help out, and they say, I want to be involved. And so it has this really, really cool alumni feel to it, which has been great. So it's a wiffle ball game. It's this Saturday. Unfortunately, the rosters are already set. So we've got a full lineup there. And it's in, you've actually played in there. We did it about 3 years ago, and this is, it got interrupted due to COVID, but we're back at it. And to me, we can talk about the venue real quick if you want, but it's one of the best kept secrets in Kansas City. And I almost, part of me doesn't want to talk about too much of it because it's such a little cool secret over there by Luce Park. But yeah, we're really looking forward to having the event. And if you want to find out more information, just go on to thebattlewithin.org.
A couple things on that. So when I used to work Royals games on a daily basis for like 15 years, the police officer that manned the Royals dugout every day is a guy named Darren Ivey, who now works at a lot of sporting Kansas City games, and he's retired, but he's very involved in the Battle Within, and I got to know him because we'd be hanging out together every day in the dugout before games. He's just an awesome guy, and he talked a lot about how, as you talk about first responders, as a police officer, he's like, you know, you go to the academy, you go through your training, they teach you how to discharge your weapon, they teach you when to do it, they teach you all these other things, how to process people, how to arrest people, all that stuff. They don't teach you how to emotionally cope with coming across an accident in which there are dead bodies and you're the first person to see them. and how many of those times that's going to happen to you in your career as a police officer. And you got to take that stuff home with you every night and try to cope with it and have a family and all those things. And you're taught to be tough, and it's not supposed to bother you. You're not supposed to need any help and all that stuff. And it's actually the exact opposite, right? Like, you need help learning how to cope with those things and deal with all the imagery that you have in your head. And so that's what the Battle Within is all about. It's coaching people who should have had that training all along, how to still have healthy, happy lives, and have the be armed with the ability to deal with that stuff going forward in life. So it really is really powerful. To your point about the wiffle ball field itself, you're talking to a nerd who used to, I mean, I still paint a field in my backyard now, but back in the day when I was a kid, I mowed a wiffle ball field, like the pattern of a baseball field in my backyard, and all the kids in the neighborhood would come over and we'd play wiffle ball. This guy has taken it to a completely different level. And I've driven by that place, I don't know, probably 100 times in my life and had no idea until we played in it a couple years ago that there's this massive wiffle ball field right across the street from Loose Park. And it's got like the dirt cutouts where the bases are. It's got a left field wall with foul poles and everything. It is an incredible spot. And it's because the guy that owns the place loves wiffle ball and wants kids to be out there playing ball in his backyard all the time. That's
it's
there.
Exactly. That's the story. So it's actually at 52nd and Warnell. The first pitch is going to be this Saturday, right around 10 a.m. So if you want to come out, like I said, you can't participate, unfortunately, because we're already booked up. But if you want to come, you can come out and watch. We're encouraging people. Any listeners out there, they're looking for something to do Saturday.
Come out and make a donation.
Yeah. Let them watch.
You know?
Yeah. It's just a fun event because, you know, there's hundreds of different charity events, and they all look different. But this one feels like you're just going to somebody's backyard, and you're playing wiffle ball.
Can you drop some names on me that's going to be there playing?
Well, let's talk to Mr. Garrick Dieter right now because he's going to be playing.
Are you a ringer? Like, are you what kind of ball player are you as far as on the on the wiffle ball
stud
field? To be honest,
I consider myself a fairly good wiffle ball, softball, baseball player.
He plays softball. He's in a
what
league
position.
Slow pitch softball. I'm playing a little right center field for now. My right fielder Anthony Sherman, if you ever heard of him, I got him out on the softball field.
Sausage,
the sausage is out there.
Now Nate has told me, but he says it as an insult to me. He says I have a catcher's build, and then he giggles and laughs.
No,
and says,
that's not a he takes. And,
but
as an insult.
But
I think
Sherman
means he's
has
sturdy.
He's Sherman's sturdy. He's out there in the outfield. Covering ground,
Covering it as best as he can.
Right.
He had a rough inning the other night. He had to take a half inning off to catch his breath because
the other team tried to hit at him.
The
right?
team was wearing him out. They were wearing him out.
See, the thing is,
hit it at that guy.
If they hit it in between you and the sausage, though. Are you hearing footsteps at all? Like, you don't want to collide with him when you're going for a fly ball. Does that get in your head at all?
We have pretty good chemistry, but there was one situation the first week he was out there. They hit a deep ball. It was right between us, and we were both running full speed, and I felt him, so I pulled off on the last second and sure made the catch, but it's definitely not a guy you want to run into because he'd be running into a brick wall.
But you're going to be playing out there.
I'm going to be playing Saturday. I had my nephew was actually in town a couple weeks ago, and we were playing wiffle ball every moment in the backyard that he could get me out there. So I feel like I'm tuned up. I'm ready to go. I'm excited to be a part of it. It's an awesome thing. My parents were police officers for a long time where I'm from. So it's an awesome thing to be a part of, and I'm happy Matt invited me to it.
Matt, are you playing?
I am playing.
Okay. Are you on the same team?
So we actually just got news. The rosters are in, and Nate, myself, and Mr. Dieter are all on different teams. There's three teams.
They decided to break us up. They were afraid we were too much of a powerhouse together, so they broke us up.
Who else you got? Who, like, give me?
Let me pull
I got the roster here if you want.
Yeah, so I actually just got a text, Nate, that Darren Ivey's going to be playing in the game.
Yes!
So he'll be there.
There we go.
Great guy.
If he pitches, he can really handcuff the hitters.
I get it. Yeah,
Steven, while I look up the roster real quick, I need you to ask Nate about what happened in the game last time we played.
What happened in the game last time you played?
Nate,
one of the most bittersweet moments of my life.
Was that the hamstring injury, the groin injury, when you ripped your crotch?
Hamstring.
You hear about this, Garrick Dieter?
I'm not.
Oh, boy.
Listen.
I was going to tell you.
Tell the short version, because I've heard Nate tell
the short version.
Yeah, who are you talking to, Matt?
I know, but when Nate tells it, you know, it's how much time we got,
Marco?
What
time? When do you have to leave? I'm serious.
That's what I'm saying. I got lunch in like 2 hours.
Okay, but are you here for two segments or one segment? Because this will determine how we handle this. I'm not kidding.
I'll be here for as many segments so
make
as
sure
you need.
Okay. And Gary, what you don't know is he tries not to come off this way. But this guy, there's no bigger showboat than you know, you were a wide receiver. You know, maybe have you ever seen a wide receiver on 3rd and 15 catch a 5-yard pass and then do a little dance, spin the ball, whatever else? Hey, bro, you didn't get the first. There he is, right there. There he is.
Selfish
right?
guy. Just big selfish guy.
That's right. It's me first, but he's out there. He performs, but absolutely a me first guy. Okay, so go ahead.
The reason for that is because as a very mediocre high school athlete, I was like the fifth option on the basketball team, so I didn't get to shoot a whole lot, you know.
What happened to you at this game?
First of all, I'm a left-handed batter because my dad taught me to hit left-handed because of George Brett. George Brett was the biggest hero in the household that we had growing up, and George Brett is sitting right behind home plate. This is important.
There's so many unnecessary.
No,
parts
this
of the
is
story.
Necessary.
When
this
the question
necessary.
Was, what happened to you?
George Brett and Matt Beisler are sitting right behind me at this wiffle ball game, and I've modeled my entire batting stance after George Brett, the whole pre-swing routine and everything. And George is sitting with my son, and the very first pitch from Danny Jackson, I take the biggest swing, and I miss by a foot. And George is now with my son heckling me. Oh, wow, the breeze. Look at this. Hey, tell your old man he's a swing like a man next time and all this stuff. And all I'm thinking is I cannot strike out in slow-pitch wiffle ball in front of my hero George Brett and my other hero Matt Beisler. Next pitch, beautiful swing. Crush a home run. Well over the right field wall, no doubter. Drop the bat and then proceed to Cadillac it all the way around the bases. I'm high-fiving people. I get to third base and moonwalk from third base all the way home, and then decide, okay, I've just homered in front of George Brett and Matt Beisler. I'm gonna finish this off with
two guys that are known for being all business, ultimate professionals, yeah. Red asses on the field, and you know, not showboating, just wanted to get the job done. So he decides to showboat in front of those two.
Yeah,
by the way.
So I'm gonna finish with what was my signature dance move at the high school mixers at Bishop Ward back in the '90s. I'm gonna drop down to the splits on home plate and then pop back up. But I forget that I'm 41 years old and I've had 3 beers at this point. And so I drop down to the splits, and I feel 2 pops in my hamstring while I'm on the ground. And I realize, like, I've got to get up. I can't just stay down here because this is going to be the most humiliating thing ever. And I somehow find a way to get myself back up to the ground and then have to be carried from home plate back to the dugout. So I homered in front of George Brett and Matt Beisler, but I also humiliated myself while showboating at home plate.
Your thoughts, Gary?
I mean, he's got to make sure you stretch before the game.
That's right. Proper stretching could have prevented that, I think.
I have it all on video, too.
Can we break and come back and do a different segment where Nate doesn't tell stories, Gary? I was asked to tell that story.
I didn't offer
that'd
it.
That'd be awesome.
But he wanted the
That was the short
the
version,
notes.
By
was
the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I can give you a half-hour version of
we'll
that.
We'll be right back after this on WHB. Oh, this is another jam from Olivia Newton-John. This is a good driving song. Surely you know, I'll always wanna be I'm sitting at the stoplight like this. Trying to make eye contact with people around me. The open road trip. You crank this up, Nate Ducati. I'm making you appreciate Olivia Newton-John's music today.
Yeah, I don't know this one either.
Yeah, you do. Let me.
Oh, yeah, I know this one.
Every song I've played, I don't know that one. Then
oh, this is great. So I know this one.
And just make it right. Welcome back to the show. We have Matt Beisler and Gary Dieter in with us. Tell us again the information we need to know. If people want to come out and see this unbelievable event this Saturday morning.
Yep, Wiffle at the Hollow this Saturday. First pitch is around 10 a.m. It's at a wiffle ball field in Joe Ungashek's backyard. He's a Notre Dame grad, by the way. Go Irish.
And wow. He lets the kids in the neighborhood just go play wiffle ball there.
He does. He does. It's located 52nd and Warnell, right across Luce Park. And the last shout out, well, The Battle Within is who we're benefiting, thebattlewithin.org. The last shout out I need to give is the field is done up by Mr. George P. Toma himself.
Legend.
Legend.
Well, that's the best there is right there.
The best in the biz.
So I believe his grandson's going to be one of the players in the wiffle ball game, too.
Correct. Correct. So thanks for having us on and promoting this and raising awareness. We appreciate it.
All right. So, Gary, I wanted to ask you a question or two about the Chiefs up at training camp. I was up there all last week, and we were commenting this morning, like, hey, you know, L'Jarius Sneed is one of the starting corners, and McDuffie's a rookie, and there's a lot of youth as far as the corners. They could really use Rashad Fenton back because he's a veteran. I think he's underappreciated, and, you know, he's been on some great teams, part of the Super Bowl championship. They could just use his experience, and I'll be damned if he didn't come off the pup and he's in pads and practicing today. I'd like to get your thoughts on Rashad Fenton and what it means for him to come back, get healthy, and be ready to go for the regular season because of so much youth in that secondary.
Yeah, there is a lot of youth this year, and I think especially cornerback, I mean, it's such a hard position to come in and be really good at. Fent has been he's kind of shown that he's a gamer. He's the type of guy that is he going to be the biggest talker or anything? No, but he's going to go out there, do his assignment, play his role, and he does a really good job of playing his role. He's, to me, he was one of my favorite DBs because in the games he showed up in those big situations, a lot of PBUs, a lot of interceptions, and to get somebody like that back along with Sneed and Justin Reed, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't. Veteran presence in the secondary is huge. Communication's huge in the secondary, especially in Spags defense. You have to be able to communicate, and to get him back and be able to help those young guys out, it's definitely going to be a big factor.
And so so a whole bunch of new wide receivers too. We always feel like, you know, the installation of the offense and the defense, Spags, I mean, I heard Willie Gay talk about this. He didn't feel comfortable until, you know, pretty much the year of, end of year two with what everything he was doing. For a wide receiver that comes into this system, how difficult is that? Like for Sky Moore, a rookie, or even a veteran guy coming from a different system, how difficult is it to pick up Andy Reid's playbook in your first training camp?
Training camp, I feel like you should have a decent feel for it, but training camp's where you're going to get all your reps in. And that's what I think makes a difference in Coach Reid and other offenses is with Coach Reid, you're going to get 1,000 reps during training camp. So you're going to really get a good feel of what you're doing and how you're going to do it. But the offense is hard. You have to be able to play all the receiver positions. And for Coach Reid, that's what he expects. And that's what the offense has been since I've been there past 5 years. We've had kind of the same room, so we haven't really experienced it. So I'm interested to watch how everybody kind of plays the first 4 or 5 games because, I mean, there is a learning curve, and a lot of those guys are smart guys. So for them, I'm interested to see how they do. And, I mean, they have the talent. It's just kind of picking it up and being ready. But anytime you have Pat, Coach Reid, Kelsey, you have those guys to lead the charge, it's always going to be a good thing.
Yeah, Garrick, I want to ask you a question about just training camp in general because I've always been curious, and it's crazy how we've never talked about this before. But what's the vibe and the balance between – enjoying yourself and staying loose and light and having fun, but also like it's training camp. Mm-hmm. Like you got to be in business mode. You're fighting for jobs, for your life, because I feel like, you know, how long is training camp?
I believe it's like 3.5 weeks.
Yeah. So I mean, if you're there for 3.5, 4 mm-hmm. weeks, you've got to have some sort of balance. And I feel like, I don't know, just from what I see on social media, you know, it's led by Pat and he's always, you know, joking around and keeping the vibe light. Do you think that's like by design or that's just who he is?
I would say that's who he is. And that's kind of like the role that I always felt like I was pretty good at, was keeping everybody loose, like having fun. Like, I mean, I was always fighting for a position on the team. So like at the same time, I had to be, I mean, pretty serious, obviously, all the time. But for me, I didn't really operate like that. If I was all tensed up, like I wasn't going to perform as well. So anytime I could do anything to have fun with the guys, that was the main key. And Pat does a good job. I think he's learned how to kind of take charge and have fun, but at the same time get the work done. And that's what Coach Reed appreciates out of him, and Kelsey's the a main culprit of being a jokester. So you got the leaders that are the fun guys, but at the same time, they get the stuff done.
Okay, you bring up Travis Kelce, and this is a very polarizing topic because people have been arguing about this for the last several days. A lot of women in Kansas City are very upset with this. I like it. Women, my wife was a little bit angry about this. I said, look, he can do what he wants. It's his face. Where do you stand on the mustache now that it's returned to training camp? I like the mustache. I feel like it makes a statement when you walk into a room. I feel like this, he can have fun and make people laugh, but also I think this says he's all business.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
100%. So, right. Like, last year, that was like, my idea was, like, hey, like, let's go into camp with mustaches for Coach Reed. And he had Coach Reed was rocking the high white socks, too. So we were like, all right, let's do the mustaches and high whites. And,
right.
And we did it last year, and Kelce got roasted pretty bad from it. But, I mean, at the same time, like, you walk into a room with the stash, like, you're a guy that not a lot of people want to mess with. So.
It's absolutely a power move.
So I'm 100% on board with the stash gang, and I think a few guys have done it this year. It's not as big as it was last year, but I'm happy that Kelce pulled it off because I think it's a solid look.
So you have a full beard. Are you done with that? You see yourself ever going back to the standalone mustache, or is that just back in your playing days?
I think I could go back to the mustache. Mm-hmm. My dad's a mustache guy, so eventually I'll probably. I'm a Yankees fan, so like the mustache rides pretty hard. So I'm like a little Matt Carpenter.
That's the only facial hair the Yankees are allowed to have, right? They can't have beards or anything, but they can have a mustache.
Yep, no stubble, no nothing, just mustaches.
You mentioned Matt Carpenter. I'm furious right now because he is my DH on my rotisserie team. I'm in second place, and he left the game with a fractured foot last night.
So that's what fouled it off his back foot and. It's not good.
The Yankees have not been playing very well. Are you worried about this at all?
They had a good game last night. Well, so, I mean, you're only as good as your last game, and they won. So, not too upset. They're still pretty good.
All right.
This is really terrible on my part because I'm sure this has been covered before. But the name Gehrig, is that from Lou Gehrig?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Dad's a huge Yankees fan. Lou Gehrig. My younger brother's Thurman after Thurman Munson.
Wow. Damn.
And my older brother's not after a Yankee, but his name's Nolan Ryan. So big baseball family.
Wow. It seems like you guys are friends now, right? I mean, you know, does he ever bring up, like, the last couple of times that Alabama's played Notre Dame in football? Or do you not talk about that?
He hasn't brought that up yet.
Right. I mean, you could, like, if he ever, you know, if you felt like he was ever getting smart with you.
Yeah.
You'd say, well, how about, you know.
Me and Matt are meshing really well right now.
Okay,
so.
But I'm just saying, like, if, you know, maybe you're having a drink sometime and Matt starts to mouth off about something.
It's in the back pocket.
It is in the back pocket.
Thanks, Steven, for bringing that up.
Now you're prepared for it.
But you can tell him about the home run George Brett hit off of Goose Gossage, you know.
I could.
Right.
I mean, we wanted to get there.
And so so for Chicken and Pickle now, you guys, so tell people again about the event coming up this weekend and also with more stuff with Chicken and Pickle because that's the place to be out here, isn't it? I mean, come on. That's the headquarters for fun.
Yeah, so the event this weekend is on Saturday, 10 a.m. We encourage people to come out if they want to come watch Wiffle Ball. It's going to be at George P. Toma Field, 52nd and Warnell. Benefits the Battle Within, thebattlewithin.org, if you want to go online and find more information and donate. Gehrig and I feel like we're in very similar positions in our career. We're transitioning from a professional sport that we've done for pretty much our entire lives. And so I think we have an understanding of working together really well. And like Gehrig said, I think we're just meshing really well, and we've teamed up on pretty much everything in terms of the projects we've been doing and the partnerships we've been working on with Chicken and Pickle. So we've enjoyed it. The question everybody asks us is, do you guys actually play pickleball?
I know he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are you getting to the next level as far as pickleball player?
I'm getting there.
How far? Be honest. You're great at pickleball, right? You'll take on all comers. Let's go.
I'll take on anybody. Am I gonna win? I've learned no. But
how close are you as far as skills?
I think we're pretty close. So me and Matt are gonna pair up and play in a couple of the actual like APP tournaments in the upcoming months, and like we're gonna try to run these tournaments and kind of be like the next big stars on the pickleball circuit.
A10 pickleball tournament.
I mean, well, I'm sure.
So to to piggyback off that. So part of our job is to go to some of these professional tournaments and, you know, learn about them. Chicken and Pickle wants to have a presence. And so, you know, the best way to figure out how it operates and what it's like is to be there. And so, you know, we were looking at dates, you know, we got to go and travel and be at these things and learn about them. Why not play?
Right.
Right.
That's so, right.
And that was Garrick's idea. He's like, yo, if we're going to be here for 3 or 4 days checking it out, like, let's enter ourselves in the professional tournament. And so that's what we did. We got our first tournament coming up.
Like, do you have to have any, like, qualifications or, like, just over? You just enter in this thing? Like, what's.
I think you can kind of. You can kind of get around the qualifications. Oh. I think you can, like, kind of sandbag and say you're a certain level if you're not. But, I mean, Matt and I have taken it pretty serious. So we're going to start practicing together, and I think we'll be ready when the time comes.
Where's the first tournament?
We're actually playing in Vegas in October.
Good God, man. You're going to go to Vegas and play in a tournament?
October, right?
Yeah. I think it has, like, 900 people signed up.
Where's
or something
it at?
Like, that.
Like, is it like in one of the big casinos or something? Like in a rooftop of a casino next to a pool or something?
Now, I mean, we're talking.
Right. This sounds. Was there like a big name? Just like the Las Vegas Open or something? You know, I mean,
that's what it's called.
Is it?
I think it's Las Vegas Open.
I'm creative.
So we're gonna have to get like live updates from you guys on this.
Like
you know?
See these guys. Like, can you compete in this thing? Or are you gonna be like a one and done? Can you win? Like, can you make some noise at one of these deals?
I think we're gonna get to a point where we're gonna win it, and I feel pretty confident.
Whoa! Come on!
About it.
I like
confident.
That.
I feel
what
confident.
I'm looking
about it.
For.
I like your confidence. I'm gonna
if you get in it,
listen,
you're trying to win it.
Listen, we got a lot of pros in Kansas City. Like Matt and I,
bring
I mean,
your ass.
We're professional athletes. Like, we can come practice, and we'll be ready when the time comes.
Doesn't pickleball kind of? I mean, I don't know what it's like to actually be blessed with really good like athleticism, but you two are like. Obviously incredible athletes, but that's not what pickleball is all about. It's about this.
It helps,
but you know, you I'm guessing you guys have already come up against some guy that's 30 years older than you that that just knows exactly where to be and can beat you, and you're like, well, how is this guy beating me at this? Does that drive you nuts at all when that happens?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I don't like losing to the old guys. Like, right. It happens because they
why do. Just look at me.
A lot of the games is like kind of knowing the position and knowing where to be and what kind of like the type of hit that you have to have. But I mean, we played at Valley Llama. We had a couple pros in town, Ben Newell and Yana, and playing them was like, it was kind of eye opening. Like, okay, there's definitely different levels to this game. So. Yeah. You hit one bad shot, it's coming at you pretty fast. So
I'm hoping these comments get out there, so there'll be some type of publication in Las Vegas, like leading up to this event, that says Dieter and Bees are looking to win tournament or something like that, where they can. There's pressure. I mean, I don't know. Can we gamble on this? From afar, is there
will
be?
You might be able to come out there and like side gamble a little.
Right,
bit
but I don't. Will it
something?
Be at the sports book? I would like to get more information about this. So I feel like you guys would be, you know, dark horses.
We could get it out there somehow.
Do you guys need like a team manager or something? You know, I could carry your
There's
bags
the ask
for you.
We're waiting for.
You
know, we're open to any and all ideas.
Can
you
I
know?
Tell you? Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that around him. That you're open to any and all ideas. Now he's the hamster's running fast now in that wheel.
I could be your handler. I could schedule media appearances. You know,
and it's gonna hide in the suitcase.
Right.
On the way. I found you.
Right.
So
check Nate in at luggage. Pick him up in Vegas.
But so I was talking with you, and by the way, we haven't made this announcement yet. But
make it.
Garrick is going to be one of our weekly. We have an incredible lineup of football.
And do you still want this after being here?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling the vibes.
Okay, so this could help. You have been a regular guest on this show.
He's pointing at Matt Beasler.
You know what
kids.
It takes. Yeah, you too. Yeah, you're a guest. You watch your mouth.
I know.
What advice do you give Garrick Dieter about being a weekly guest on this show? Because it is demanding, it can be taxing. It's
uncomfortable.
It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. There's a comfort level for some. Others, like he says, discomfort. What advice do you give him?
Man, I think you got to be ready for anything.
Right. That's, yeah.
You know, I always used to joke. I used to come on when I was playing soccer, and we'd have a pretty quick segment, 15, 20 minutes.
Because of Lise.
If we talked about soccer one time, that was a win.
Right. Because sometimes
or a loss for some people.
Yeah, probably not. You know, because we'll talk a little bit. Maybe. 20% football, is that enough? Maybe 25, I don't know.
I mean, that's fine with me.
These guys are great. They're great. It's a good time. I'm happy that you have the opportunity. And my question, though, is when is he coming on? Is he coming on after Lezak? Because I do have some advice if that's the case.
We're protecting him from that.
Yeah, okay. We're trying to insulate him from that.
There's a few guests that have the they can they, with a stand Gary Lezak eating into their time, and you're one of the few that didn't let affect your focus, and so thank you for dealing with him. I will say, so next time I would like a Nick Saban story. If you could dig in for something about Nick Saban when you played there. We enjoy his press conferences, and we enjoy him feuding with other SEC coaches. We like that a lot.
What are the kind of jokes that he likes to tell?
Yeah. And we found out that one of his former players said he likes to tell D's nuts jokes in practice.
I always tell people, like, the defensive guys will have a lot more stories because he is all of defense all the time.
All D's nuts, it sounds like.
Exactly. I got a couple decent ones I can share.
Okay. I just like how I say this to him, and he's like, oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, there's no refuting it. Yeah, boys, Saban's running around with all these D's nuts.
I can't remember who the player was that said it was great, though, because then he explained them too. Like, you know, he likes to tell you, like, suck on D's, you know.
Who would play with in the press conference?
He said that at a press conference.
Yeah, he was giving all examples. Oh, no, we get it. We get it.
Yeah, we understand the jokes.
We understand the context. Them.
So, a couple things real quick before we run out of time. Our friend Noah, Matt, once has texted me and wants me to let you know that Hot Guys United starts up on the 26th for the fall session.
Just pretend you didn't hear this.
You ever play over 30 league soccer, Gary? Any interest?
No. I'm not 30 yet.
I'm going to tell you, don't have any interest. I'm just going to let you know.
Okay. We're trying to get Matt on the team. He's shunned our contract offer so far, but just planting the seed there, Matt.
Does Gehrig, did you give your number to Nate yet?
Yeah, don't.
I've gotten a couple texts from him.
Okay. All right.
He's been invited over to the house.
Your real number, or is that your fake? Your burner phone.
Are you still contemplating this? Is this still a possibility that you actually play one of these games?
What are the chances?
I just, you know, kill his will now. If you don't lead him on, because he keeps talking about it.
What, he does?
Yeah. I think Beasley might. No, because he thinks he's going to break you at some point.
Someday you might miss it a little bit and want to come be a hot guy.
That's what he keeps saying. He says he's going to miss it and he'll come and play.
That day has not happened
yet. Yeah, that day has not happened yet.
Okay, so the other thing, though, Gehrig and I were talking about this to bring it back to the Chiefs and Chicken and Pickle. Tell us about how you got so into pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was while you were playing, right?
Right, yeah. So I would say five years ago, my first year here, Alex Smith would do quarterback dinners. Like, he would kind of host them to go to different restaurants around KC. And it was Pat, Tyler Bray, and they would always invite me out there. So I would go out. And then the next year, we didn't really start the season doing that. And I'm like, hey, Pat, like, are we going to do, like, dinners or anything? And it ended up being, like, a receiver, Kelsey, and Pat type thing. So we would go out and just do random things, Topgolf, random restaurants around town. And I just looked up one time, like, things to do in KC, and Chicken and Pickle was on there. Nobody's ever heard of it. So I was texting with the lady. It ended up being Kelly Aldridge, who Matt and I kind of work for now. And
she won the pickleball,
She won Volley Llama. Excellent pickleball player, great person. So I'm texting with her. I didn't know who it was, just asking for courts or whatever. We get there, and they treat us awesome. They take care of everything. We play pickleball. Nobody's ever played it before, and everybody loves it. So I think we went back two or three times for the rest of that season. And after the season, they invited Anthony Sherman and myself up to Smith Center, Kansas, for Mitch Holtis' charity event, and that was the first time I met Kelly, and we kind of just hit it off from there. I didn't know who she was other than I was texting her for court time. So just getting to know her, getting to know the whole Chicken and Pickle staff and the higher up people that work for them, they've been awesome people to me. They've taken care of everything. They treat us first class every time. And I had a conversation with them in I think March of this year was, hey, like, I don't know how much longer football is going to last, and is this, like, if you guys have something, an opportunity for me to kind of hop on board, because I obviously love the business and love pickleball. So they were, as soon as the Chiefs cut me, I tried out for the Giants a week later. Nothing came out of that, and then I kind of got clarity that I wasn't going to get brought back from the Chiefs. So once that happened, I felt comfortable to retire, and, I texted Kelly the next day, and they were right there waiting for me, and it's been great since. Working with Matt is obviously a lot of fun, because we're both, like he said, in the same situation where we just retired professional athletes, and we're kind of just finding where we fit in within the company of Chicken and Pickle, and I think we're doing a fine job of that.
Of all the guys that you went and played with, former teammates, who's the best player? Are you? Is Patrick better than you? Like, is there Kelsey? Who's the best?
I would consider myself definitely the best. That's right. I would say a second place is Shane Bouchel, backup quarterback. Me and him played in a little he's only played a few times, but he's a natural athlete. But we played in a charity tournament and won together a couple months ago. But Kelsey and Pat are both very good. I mean, Kelsey's a big guy, so he covers a lot of the court.
But you and Bichelle beat him. I mean, you'd wipe the court with him probably.
With Bichelle?
Yeah, if you and Bichelle.
Oh yeah. Me and Bichelle versus anybody on the team, it's not close.
Right. Not it's a blowout. Heavy favorites. Guys, thank you so much for coming in the studio. Matt, it's always good to see you.
You too.
You know, and that big dinner we're planning together, Night Out of the Town, I'm looking forward to it. You know, just keep me updated. And
Matt is going to be at the 100-year birthday party.
Oh, is he?
We probably need to give some tickets away, too. I requested to be at the same table with Matt, and I got a call from Chad Boger earlier this week saying,
the powers that be prevented
that.
Yeah, split them up. So. Hey, Gary, thank you very much for coming in here. And we look forward to having you on every week. And it won't always be so weird. Or maybe it'll be more weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
913-3810-810. We got a lot of tickets to give away. Marco, the next 10 people that call. The next 10 people that call will receive a pair of tickets to the 100-year anniversary celebration this Thursday at the Midland. Back after this on WHB. To all of our guests today, we had Jamie Bluma in studio. We had Joe Valerio on the phone. Gary Lezak on the phone. Mark Boerichter in studio. Garrick Dieter in studio. Matt Beisler in studio. Stephen St. John in studio. Nate Bucati in studio. Marco Marquez in studio. And rest in peace to the absolute biggest crush of my life, except for my wife, Olivia Newton-John. I will love you always. And right now, I'm going to take a muscle relaxer from my back, and I'm going to enter Xanadu on Sports Radio 810 WHB.